everyone.
Morning.
Today our reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Praise for future or for spiritual blessings in Christ. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given in us, the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for the fan, Dan. Let's pray one more time. Father, we are here in your presence and we have been given your word. I just pray that your word would penetrate all of our defenses and that you would be the one who speaks to us. We thank you, O God, that when your word goes out, it always accomplishes something. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to be starting a journey through the letter of Ephesians now for this summer. And it's a good letter. If you've not had a chance to read it in a while, I encourage you just to sit down and have a chance to do that. But we're going to start and we're going to walk through it. And it has a lot to do with who we are and what God did in order that we could be who we are and how we are supposed to live because of who we are. Chapter 1. Have you noticed that the number one thing that you and I are supposed to be in our culture is dissatisfied? We rarely have the right car. We rarely get to wear the right clothes. We don't have the right food in our house. We don't have the right furniture. We never have the right TV. We don't have the right computer. We don't go on the right vacations because there's always something better. Have you ever noticed that? The minute you get one thing, there's always something just a little bit better. In fact, I can think of no better example than a cell phone. Did you know that if you have a smartphone, that smartphone's not the right one for you because they're coming out with a brand new one and it'll have features you never even knew that you wanted. You're going to be able to do stuff you never thought you were going to be able to do, and you have to go out and get this phone, whether it is the iPhone 9 million or whether it is the Samsung 16 and XX triple YZ with a flip. You can do all kinds of things that you never thought to do, and when you look at them, you said, the reason I didn't think about doing them is I never wanted to. My point is that when we look at things, we always look at what we don't have. We don't look at what we do have. And unfortunately, that is such a dominant thing in our culture, it has spilled over into the church. That when people talk about the body of Christ, that when people talk about who we are, especially a church like West Bay, the list of deficits seem to go on forever, and they never look at what God has already provided, which is one of the reasons why I love chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. Because what Paul says is that when you take a look at the church, you will be absolutely stunned, not by what is absent, but by how much is present. That what you have far exceeds any list you could have of what you're missing out on. And most of the time, when people measure churches, they do it by two things. They do it by noses and nickels. Bob, have you counted yet today? Okay. I'm going to guess we probably have about 60 people here today. And they're going to go, 60 people? There are churches in this country that will have 6,000. Okay, great. We can't park them. And we only have three functional bathrooms. Can you imagine 6,000 people in this place with three functional bathrooms? Not a pretty imaginative sight. And they always look at nickels. Do you know that our church has taken in probably the most money this year that we've taken in years? We have given away over almost $5,000 that are non-budgeted. We have brought in, and we're doing great. We are so grateful for your faithfulness. We're not measuring by those terms. I want you to measure by what Paul talks about. I want you to measure by focusing on what is here, not what is absent. Paul, verse number 1, chapter 1. Paul, I'm an apostle by the will of God. Now, he's writing a group of people he knows really well. He spent 3 years with them. He's corresponded with them. He knows them. He loves them. And now as he is in prison, he is writing to them because they are dear to him, and he wants them simply to know some things. He warned them when he was going to Jerusalem that they were going to be infiltrated by those who wanted to damage them and to teach them lies, wolves, he called them, dangerous individuals. And he is simply writing a letter in the style that is reflective of his time. And he always introduces himself. He says, I am an apostle, not by anybody's decision, but by the will of God. God decided he wanted me, and I am the one who has been sent. That's what an apostle is, somebody who's been sent, and I have been sent to the Gentiles. I am writing to you, God's holy people, the saints in Ephesus. They're not perfect people. Never have been. A saint is not a perfect person. It is someone that God has said, you are mine. I am going to separate you and call you my own. I am here for you, and you are going to be my people. I set you aside for my kingdom. I do this through my son, Jesus Christ. You are the faithful in Christ Jesus. You are individuals who have faith. You are individuals who have trusted and believed in my Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to look at what he says. Now, he's going to say something 12 times in these 14 verses, and that is in Christ, in him, but the idea that you and I are in Christ. That is so important to Paul. In fact, in his 13 letters, he says that type of thing 164 times. I am a husband. I know that if my sweet, beloved, beautiful wife says something to me 164 times, she's got to mean it. Yeah. I may not have heard all 164 times. But if it said 164 times, there is something there that I ought to grab onto. The same thing here. Paul says, well, you and I are in Christ. It has to do with who we are and how we got there. My identity is in Jesus. My life is in Jesus. My forgiveness has been in Jesus. His unity and his sense of belonging and his sense of participation in my life is what gives me hope. It is what gives me salvation. Paul says that my redemption, my salvation, my future, my everything comes from Christ. Just watch that. Watch it. And so he says, what I want you to have is I want you to have grace and peace who comes from my Father, and I want you to have those things. That's what I would give to anyone. I want grace and peace to everyone I meet. I want them for my kids. I want them for my parents. I want them for my brother and sister-in-law. I want them for all of my family. I want them for my friends. I want it for you. Grace and peace. Interesting thing about verse 3 to 14. In the Greek, it's one long sentence. One sentence, and it cascades. Blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. And it basically is a doxology. Does anybody know what the words doxology means? Yeah, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Basically, it's praise words. Doxa in Greek is praise. Logos is words. It's praise words. It's basically one long praise of God for what he has done. And it starts off with, and the NIV, Lord love them, they translated it blessing, blessed. Actually, it's this way. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty who has given us every spiritual blessing and he has blessed us. Blessed is him who has blessed us with every blessing. He has given everything to us. He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Here's the bottom line for me right now. I could end here and everyone would be happy. There is nothing that you and I need to be followers of Jesus Christ that we don't already have. You want to go to the cupboard? It's full. There is nothing that you need that isn't already present in this place. Everything. We have election. We have adoption. We have grace. We have forgiveness. We have revelation. We have the gospel. We have the Holy Spirit. Everything that you and I could possibly need has already been provided. The problem is that sometimes we just don't see it. Do you have this problem? I have so many clothes, I sometimes don't know where some of my clothes are. Anybody have that problem? I open the closet, I'm looking for a shirt. I know I've got a shirt, but it's lost in the forest of shirts. So I'm going through, and I pass right over. I don't even know I did it, so I got to go back. Oh, there it is. But you know what I discovered? I discovered on the way, I discovered two other shirts I didn't even know I had. So I forgot the one I was looking for, and I took the discovered one. It's worse with socks. I think sometimes we are so obsessed about what we don't have, we overlook all that God has ever given to us, all that God has provided, all that he has poured out in order that you and I fulfill his mission as his church. We think that somehow we are missing something. Nonsense. That is simply not the case. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing under heaven. Here's the first one. He chose us. In Christ. He chose us before the creation of the world. This was his plan all along. He deliberately chose us. One of the things I would think would be really interesting is if we took everyone in the sanctuary and we lined them up and we chose two captains. Let's see, we're going to get Jim and Phil will be the captains, and it's going to be a flag football team. And we're going to play against one another into the parking lot. Who are you going to pick first, Jim? Yeah. You ever been in that awkward position when you're standing there and knowing that, man, yeah, I've been in that position. You know, they're selecting teams and you're the last one and neither one wants you? You know? God chose us right out of the box. He said, I want you, number one. You're the one I want. You're the one I want. You're the one I want. I chose you. I chose you before the world was created, and I chose you with a very specific idea. I chose you that you were going to be holy and blameless because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. By the way, holy means I belong to God. It doesn't mean that somehow I am perfect. It means that I belong to God. I am in His sight, in His world. I am what He desires. I am all that God wanted. He chose me because that's what He wanted. He wanted that. And He decided and He determined in His love that I was to be adopted as part of His family through Christ Jesus. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. That's only possible because of Jesus. He said, I choose you. Now, you know that to us, adoption is a very special thing. We have a granddaughter because our son and his wife adopted Noe and from South Africa, and they went over and they saw this girl, and it's like God just grabbed their heart and it said, this is the one. This is the one that you have to have. You know. Now, is Noe perfect? Well, Grandpa thinks she is, but Mom and Dad are of a different opinion. I think she's awesome. And she was determined as the one that they wanted in love through Christ Jesus, according to His good pleasure. Now think about that. You and I have been chosen. We have been brought into the family. We have been given everything that we need. And it's all because He just is so thrilled to do this. He is so thrilled to do this. And His actions now turn to praise in His glorious grace. We just thank Him and we praise Him because He has done some marvelous things and He has done some incredible things. When you look at verse number 7, He says this. In Christ, in Him. Remember that all that we have comes through the avenue, comes through the authority, the power, the presence, the love of Jesus Christ. He has redemption. I don't know if you and I really understand what redemption means, but in the day of Jesus, it had nothing to do with stamps. In the day of Jesus, to redeem someone was to buy them back, those who were lost, who were slaves, or who were captured. You purchased them. You paid the price to get them back. Our price was the death of Jesus Christ. We were purchased, we were redeemed in Him by the forgiveness of our sins. We were forgiven in accordance with God's amazing and rich grace. Paul writes this because he remembers who he was. He remembers what he did. He remembers how he persecuted the church. He remembers how he had them killed. There is blood on Paul's hands, and Paul says, I have no business being here, but God's amazing forgiveness through the riches of God's grace. I am here. I have been purchased back just like you have, in order that He might tell us about His understanding and His desire with all wisdom and understanding, that you and I would see the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ Jesus to put in effect right at this moment. In other words, He wants us to understand what God is doing and why He is doing it. And He's given that to us with all wisdom and understanding. You and I have insight to what God is doing, which is one of the things that you and I have so that we can explain the wonderful story of Jesus to people who are outside of our faith and who don't have any interest. We can begin to explain to them in ways that will begin to penetrate their defenses and let them know that there is a God in heaven who wants nothing more than to give them life. Just give them life. You and I were also chosen. You and I were predetermined according to the will, according to the purpose of God, in order that we would do what He had hoped. that you and I would not only give hope to the gospel, but we would give feet and hands, and that we would work out our redemption, and that we would be his, those who walk and talk and live the gospel message so that others would know. And one of the things that you and I have, verse number 13, you and I have been given something. When we said yes to Jesus, you and I have been given the Holy Spirit. In our belief, we were marked in Christ with the seal. We were marked as being authentic and genuine and belonging to God because you and I have the seal of God called the Holy Spirit. It is also a deposit, a guarantee that what's going to happen in the future, we are guaranteed of the kingdom of God. Until that absolute redemption occurs, when God brings everything together at his good time, and all creation praises him, you and I have a guarantee knowing that we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. Let me tell you something. There are times that we look at ourselves and we don't believe it. There are times that we wonder if we are ever going to be forgiven. There are times that we wonder if we have any hope at all. Let me tell you, the answer is yes, because you and I, when we said yes to Jesus, we have been given the Holy Spirit. It's a down payment, and it is an unbreakable promise. When you look at the church, as people are these days, when you look at the church and you ask yourself, well, is there even going to be a church in the next decade? I'm going to tell you yes. Will we have anything to say to these people? I'm going to tell you yes. I'm going to tell you that the church is always going to be here. It is always going to be thriving. It is always going to be filled with people who love Jesus. Why? Because we have every spiritual blessing under heaven given to us. There is nothing that West Bay doesn't have that we need. There is nothing that any church in this community has been deprived of. There is nothing that any church in the state of Michigan hasn't already been equipped with in order that we can do the very work and have the impact for the kingdom of God. Because in his wisdom, in Christ, God has already accomplished it. And we have a guarantee because he who is with us this morning is our deposit. The Holy Spirit is here, and he is telling us that God's promises are good. It's not what we don't have. It's what we do have. In Jesus' name, amen.